Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back. Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Hope you're having a really good Tuesday out there. Our lunch hour, 1 o'clock Eastern, 12 o'clock Central. Final day of August 2021. September means NFL football, and Davis, on this day, it means cutdown day in the NFL. And we found out a couple of hours ago that Cam Newton, 2015 MVP, and really one of the transcendent players over the last decade in the NFL, is now without a home, at least temporarily. He has been let go by the New England Patriots. Mac Jones is going to start the first game of the season. Ironically, he's going to start against the Miami Dolphins. It'll be two Alabama quarterbacks starting against each other to open up the season. So good for Mac Jones, and certainly unfortunate for Cam Newton, who has to make a pretty big decision, I would think, in the next few weeks.
Yeah, very good for Mac Jones. I mean, I tend to think that football is the most exciting when we are getting rookies playing, when we're getting young guys getting their opportunities. I mean, look, we are all sick of Brady. We're all sick of Ben Roethlisberger. We were all sick of Drew Brees. I mean, I guess maybe I shouldn't say we all were, but I certainly was. I am ready for new challenges. I'm ready for offenses to look different. I'm ready for more passing. I'm ready for more aggressive play calling. Remains to be seen how aggressive the New England Patriots are going to be with Mac Jones as their quarterback. Certainly, they were definitely going to be one of the most run-heavy, if not the most run-heavy teams in the NFL with Cam Newton as their quarterback. I would anticipate Bill Belichick will still want to protect Mac Jones a little bit. We're going to get a heavy dose of Damian Harris. We're going to get some Ramondre Stevenson, lots of James White on third downs, maybe even some J.J. Taylor popping up early in the season as he is capable of playing special teams and things like that. And as far as Cam Newton getting signed, you know, I could see the Washington football team being a place. You know, Ryan Fitzpatrick, the veteran quarterback there. I think the Steelers desperately need some sort of plan at backup quarterback. The Cowboys need a plan at backup quarterback. So there are options out there. What about the Houston Texans? What if they just throw away their entire plan of the offseason with Tyrod Taylor and Davis Mills and they just go in with Cam Newton? I mean, that's probably very unlikely to happen. But there are teams out there where Cam could have a role. I also would be interested to see if Cam is willing to accept a role kind of as like a Taysom Hill guy, where he comes in and runs the Wildcat and does the QB power, but doesn't really play any traditional quarterback.
Yeah, it'll be interesting because he'll have a choice to start as a backup with someone. The question is he willing to do that? And we'll find out pretty soon. All right, here are our headlines as we start off the second hour of the show. University of Alabama, Birmingham will visit Jacksonville State in college football tomorrow. So we get our college football fix early on in the week this week. Shohei Ohtani, unfortunately, he's going to miss his start versus the Yankees after being hit by a pitch on his pitching hand, although he did homer yesterday. Texas names Hudson Card starting quarterback. Casey Thompson will play. They're going to shift two different quarterbacks at a time. Texas has been pretty underachieving at quarterback the last couple of years. We'll see if that works out for them. Unfortunately for Tulane, their home game has been moved. They've got to go to Norman, Oklahoma to take on OU instead of playing that one in New Orleans. That's not the best news for them for sure. NFL rosters trimmed to 53 today. Peyton Barber has been let go by the Washington football team. Antonio Gandy-Golden, wide receiver, also let go. Will Greer Davis, who I know Carolina had some hopes for when they drafted him out of the University of West Virginia, he is also no longer on a team. But Cam Newton, pretty much the biggest one today. Any others that piqued your interest?
Well, we just talked about at the end of the last break, the Bears releasing Artavis Pierce on Ryan Nall. That's going to lock up Khalil Herbert as the third running back for the Chicago Bears. That's also going to, I think, give a pretty big role at the beginning of the season for Damian Williams. David Sills got released by the New York Giants. You and I think we actually talked about him a couple weeks ago. I really liked him at West Virginia. He was very slow, which it's very hard to be a slow wide receiver in the NFL these days. That's definitely a skill set that that you need to have in the NFL. But I would think he probably will latch on somewhere. But no real fireworks yet. The fireworks I was anticipating was perhaps the New Orleans Saints releasing Latavius Murray. I'm also waiting to see what the Los Angeles Chargers do with their backfield. We have Justin Jackson, Larry Roundtree, and Josh Kelly all there as the complimentary back to Austin Eckler. We know one of those guys is going to have enough work to be relevant for fantasy football. We just don't know which one. It'll get a little bit easier for our purposes if one of those guys gets cut. If all three of them remain on the roster, well, at that point, who knows, right?
Yeah. Also, a little early on the West Coast. Maybe that's the reason why those don't come in later. Seattle, San Francisco, we'll probably get those later this afternoon for sure. We got also some news today, some update on the New Orleans Saints. They are not going to play their first home game in New Orleans. This game is going to have to be played somewhere else due to the remnants of Hurricane Ida, and certainly not a great situation there. But New Orleans, no stranger having to be moved. We'll see if that ends up being in Dallas and Houston or somewhere else. And so that's something to keep an eye on, no question about that. Also, some fun stories in Major League Baseball. We got a game starting, in fact, right now at Citi Field between the Marlins and Mets. This is a suspended game from back in April where they stopped the game after one pitch, if I'm not mistaken. And five players who were on the Marlins are no longer there. So they're playing the same game without the players from five different players from Miami. Really weird scenario here, playing nine innings in their first game and then seven innings in a second game later today. Not the most meaningful baseball, but at least it's interesting as we close out August. We'll talk kickers and fantasy football next.
SportsGrid.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back. Fantasy Sports Today here on SportsGrid. A lot of interesting topics going into the fantasy football season for sure. And one of which, Davis, has come up now for the last few years, which is playing kickers in fantasy football. And look, we've avoided this conversation now for about 2 months. But if we did not at least give people an idea of what the strategy should be and discuss the kickers in the NFL, that we would be doing a disservice. Because honestly, the average person, Davis, is playing in a fantasy league where they're going to be drafting kickers. I mean, this is just the truth. Not everybody sees through this as the randomness and the luck and really just kind of what happens over the course of the season. But I know that you feel a little differently, and you feel that there's basically like a very elite tier, and then maybe beyond that, there's some variance, right?
Certainly there is some variance, but I actually think that kickers are an interesting part of the game. Like, yes, there's a lot of noisiness. Yes, there's a lot of variance. Kickers tend to not be that sticky year to year, but there are a lot of good indicators that you can look for, you know, give it for performance on a given week, which I think is fairly useful. And I play in a lot of leagues with kickers, you know, the high stakes leagues that I play in on the FFPC and the NFFC, where, you know, we're you know, $2,000 buy-ins, $500,000 to first place. Kicker points are going to matter there. Kicker points are going to impact those things. So, you know, as much as I prefer to have kickers, and maybe that's an unpopular opinion. Some people in fantasy don't like it. I like having it. It adds an extra, you know, element, an extra little bit of strategy. It's, and specifically in the high stakes leagues, you have to spend your fab. There are no $0 bids in these high stakes leagues. So you have to be spending some of your free agent acquisition budget on kickers. One of my strategies is I love to get one of the top guys. Like, I love to get one of the three top kickers in these high stakes fantasy leagues, because that basically means I'm going to be making one kicker transaction all year long. So on Harrison Butker or Greg Zuerlein or Justin Tucker's bye week, I pick up, you know, whatever kicker happens to be playing in a dome or has a high team total that week. And I spend $5 a fab on that guy. I drop, you know, my ninth running back or my seventh wide receiver. And then after that week, I drop the kicker and I move on. One, that saves me a lot of good mental stress over the course of the season, because I'm going to be putting hundreds of hours in doing, well, not maybe not hundreds, but you know, I'll do 50 hours worth of fab work over the course of a fantasy football season, and not having to think about kickers, not having to do the kicker fab is going to save me, like, you know, daylight. It's, so that's like a life EV thing. But I do think there is strategy for kickers, and I think that it is inaccurate to say that kickers are all randomness and variance heading into a fantasy football season.
All right, so let's bring this list back real quick here, the top five. And I think that the first three names everybody knows, Butker, of course, of the Chiefs, Greg Zuerlein, and then Justin Tucker, who is, I mean, on a path to the Hall of Fame, although there's very few kickers that get in. Younghoe Koo for Atlanta just got so many opportunities to kick field goals with them. And tell people who Tyler Bass is, because that's going to be a name that a lot will not be familiar with.
Well, Tyler Bass is the kicker for the Buffalo Bills, and I would basically like people to think about kickers as a function of the offense that they play in, right? We're not drafting kickers the way we draft running backs or wide receivers, where we're drafting them for their individual skill. You know, if you are the best kicker in the world, and you can make 70-yard field goals and you never miss and you're the most accurate guy, but you play for the Houston Texans, you are not even going to come close to being a fantasy valuable kicker. Your offense is not going to generate enough points. Your offense is not going to generate enough drives, not going to generate enough yards, not going to generate enough first downs. Whereas you can be a bad kicker, like, you know, 90% make percentage, never making 50 yarders, missing an extra point here or there, and be a top five kicker in fantasy if you play on an offense that scores a lot of points. And actually, we even have an example of that, because my number one kicker, Harrison Butker, he is actually not a particularly good kicker. If you look at like his makes relative to distance compared to other kickers, he actually misses a fair amount. I mean, in 2018, he only made 88%. And in 2019, he only made 89%. He has actually even missed extra points. You'd be thinking like, no way, that can't be true. He made 88% of his extra points last year, which is awful, right? Like that's just straight up not good. But he has led the NFL in field goals made twice. He's also led the NFL in field goal attempts twice. Because he plays for the Chiefs. The Chiefs score the most points in the NFL. They gain the most yards. So they're going to have the most, they're going to have the greatest opportunity to score points. So that's really how people need to be thinking about fantasy football kickers.
All right, let's close out the top 10 with Jason Sanders of Miami. Rodrigo Blankenship checks in at 7. Ryan Succop, 8. Matt Gay, 9th. And then crazy, Mason Crosby still kicking after all these years for the Green Bay Packers at 10. And so, you know, a product of the offense on some and a product of success, it looks like, here on some others.
Yeah, so I guess we should say some guys are going to get a benefit from being really good at kicking, right? Jason Sanders is actually one of those guys. Jason Sanders plays for the Miami Dolphins. The Miami Dolphins are a good offense, but not a great offense. But Jason Sanders is so good at kicking. He made 100% of his extra points last year, 92% of his field goals. Every year of his career, he's made at least one 50-yarder. Most leagues give you a small bonus for the 50-yarders and the 40-yarders and things like that. And actually, you know, another thing that we need to process is what offenses are really good at gaining yards, but maybe not necessarily very good in the red zone. So everyone's kicker rankings has Justin Tucker at the top, right? Well, that's actually terrible because no team is better at scoring touchdowns once they get in the red zone than the Baltimore Ravens. When Lamar Jackson is on the field, Lamar Jackson offenses are number one in the NFL at converting in the red zone into touchdowns. And that's, it would be incredibly obvious why that is true. You're just not stopping Lamar Jackson when they're on the 8-yard line. Like, Lamar Jackson is generating a touchdown. The same might not be true of Tua. The same might not be true of the Indianapolis Colts under Carson Wentz or Jacob Eason. Another thing that we need to talk about as an element of strategy here is dome games. There's a huge boost in kicking performance inside domes. Think about that for a second. Why would that be true? No weather, no wind to deal with. The eyesight is not going to be weird for the kickers. They're going to know exactly where it's going. It's not going to change. So kickers in a dome, you know, Younghoe Koo for the Atlanta Falcons, Rodrigo Blankenship for the Colts, Will Lutz for the Saints, though I don't have Will Lutz inside my top 10 this year because I think the Saints are going to be fairly brutal on offense. Probably the surprising name inside my top 10 would be Matt Gay and Greg Zuerlein. By the way, I was looking at ADP for kickers, and Greg Zuerlein doesn't even go inside the top 5 of kickers, but he's the Cowboys kicker. So he has the double whammy. He plays indoors at the Jerry Dome, and the Cowboys are going to score all these touchdowns and have all these scoring possessions. So I Greg Zuerlein, you heard it here first. Greg Zuerlein is my number one kicker to go and get in your fantasy football draft because he is the most underpriced relative to what I would anticipate the Cowboys kicker performance to be.
Am I right in thinking that Zuerlein is also the guy that gets hurt the most at kicker? Is that accurate? I feel like he is. Is that inaccurate? I don't know. It just feels like that.
I mean, he's literally hurt right now. He just got taken off of the physically unable to perform list. So yes, you are right. I need to give a shout out to our friends over at the NFFC. They do team kicker. So instead of drafting Greg Zuerlein, you draft Dallas Cowboys kicker.
That's like a
really small thing, but I actually think it's a really great deal, and I wish that was what every website did for the kicker position.
Yeah, I there are some sites that do negative points if the kicker misses a field goal, but if that's the case, if somebody kicks a 50, shouldn't you get a bonus point? Like, I don't know. Like, everyone has their own theory on this, and you know, certainly, I'm usually not one of the ones that takes a kicker high, but maybe I'll change my strategy on that this year in terms of taking one of the best guys, not high, but taking one of the best guys in a fantasy draft. All right, some more drafting theories coming up next. We'll take a look at running back theories, cheap players, zero running back theory. We'll dive into it next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the...
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If your brain is at full capacity with to-dos, birthdays, and dinner plans, meet Skylight Calendar. It syncs your entire family's schedule onto a sleek digital display, so you focus on important things like where you left your coffee. Right now, Skylight is offering our listeners $30 off their 15-inch calendars by going to skylightcal.com/talk. Go to skylightcal.com/talk for $30 off your 15-inch calendar. That's SKYLIGHTCAL.com/talk.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back. The football season is here on Sports Grid. College football, of course, premiering week zero last week, week one officially this week, NFL next week. And for all of our predictions, insight, analysis, guests and hosts, you may want to go over to our social media channels and follow us there on Twitter. It's at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV. Give us a follow on both sites. As you'll see, we'll post videos throughout the day from all of our shows there, the Early Line, Morning After, Scott Farrell, Coast to Coast, Gabe Morency, all of our great hosts, including our weekend programming. Just go to at SportsGrid and at SportsGrid TV. Well, in case people missed our show earlier, we took a walk back in time to 2011 and looked at all of the running backs that were going in the first two rounds of fantasy football. In fact, I think of the top ADP in 12-team leagues, top 24, I think that there were 16 or 17 running backs taken in the top 24. If we were to do that these days, Davis, we may find 7, 8, 9, maybe 10. I mean, it's possible that we would. But in general, people are getting smarter and understanding that running backs get hurt. And there are some out there that think that the theory is to wait on running back and you'll end up getting someone maybe viable, but if not, you work the waiver wire. And so let's get into your strategy as to how people should be attacking this when they draft over the next week.
Well, you know, I basically maintain there certainly is no problem with taking a running back in the first round. You know, Christian McCaffrey, Dalvin Cook, Alvin Kamara, Ezekiel Elliott. Now, I'm not so much into Derrick Henry or Aaron Jones at their price tag. And then in the second round, you know, if you want to take Antonio Gibson or Jonathan Taylor or Joe Mixon, certainly no problem there. But when you get into that third round and it's DeAndre Swift and David Montgomery and Chris Carson, James Robinson now goes up there, I think you're going to have problems. And so if you're going to say that, right, if my position is going to be you really are better off starting your draft with lots of wide receivers, tight ends, and maybe an elite quarterback, well, then you got to give out some guys for people to draft because you still want to score points. It's not that we don't want to have points scored at our running back position. We would love to have points scored at a running back position. We just don't want to pay a premium for them. So I have three tiers of zero RB draft targets. The first one is our truly cheap tier. If you're playing in a, you know, 16 round, 12 team PPR league, these guys are going to be, you'll be able to take them with the last pick of your draft. So it's Ty Johnson from the New York Jets, Justice Hill for the Baltimore Ravens, and then Jerick McKinnon or Darrell Williams for the Kansas City Chiefs. I think both of them are basically the same bet, you know, whoever ends up playing third down for the Kansas City Chiefs. All of these guys pretty much offer the same value proposition. Justice Hill and Jerick McKinnon play on very good teams. So, you know, 8 or 9 touches in a given week could give them the PPR points that you would be needed. But all of these guys should expected to be served in some sort of ancillary pass catching role for their teams. They cost absolutely nothing to be acquired to your fantasy football team. And they're basically, I don't think any of these guys have real breakout potential. Maybe Justice Hill if Gus Edwards was to get injured, though it does sound like they like Tyson Williams as well. But these guys, you're not drafting them to break out. You're drafting them because, look, it's week one. I drafted a running back in the first round, and then I didn't, you know, maybe I took Javonte Williams, but I don't really want to start him or Trey Sermon in week one because I don't know. But I know that Ty Johnson could maybe eke me out 8 PPR points, and that's kind of what I think of this group of guys.
Yeah, in particular with Ty Johnson, like there's a real role for him going into the season. And I thought he established enough last year to show that he can catch the ball out of the backfield. And you would think that that's going to be a primary idea for the Jets this season. So like the idea of Ty Johnson, a super late pick where, you know, basically you're not taking a running back and then inserting him in there. And then, of course, there is a step up from there where you decide to take a little bit more of a risk, Davis, and you know, certainly there are going to be players that have at least shown glimpses in the past that we're going to talk about here. And a couple of them are on one team, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. A couple of these guys are on the same team because Ronald Jones and Giovanni Bernard are on a team that's going to score a lot of points. I guess assuming that Tom Brady doesn't turn into the Crypt Keeper overnight and that he's able to play relatively similar to how he played last season, the Buccaneers should be a good offense, right? We don't really have any concerns about them forgetting how to score points year over year. I don't think Fournette is going to have a very big role because he's not as good at the early down rushing as Ronald Jones is, and he's not as good at the third down pass catching and pass blocking as Giovanni Bernard is. So I feel pretty confident that one or both of the Tampa Bay running backs that I have listed here, Ronald Jones and Giovanni Bernard, I feel confident that both of those guys are going to actually outperform their ADP, that both of them are going to be weekly guys that you can put in as your RB2 on teams where you start with only one elite running back or maybe no elite running back, right? Maybe you just go really crazy and you draft Travis Kelce and 5 straight wide receivers and you need a couple guys to just crank, you know, maybe a guy who can get you 20 PPR points, right? Ronald Jones, if he breaks off a long run, he did it a couple times last year. In fact, through week 9 last year, you know who led the NFL in 100-yard games at the midway point? It's Ronald Jones. Not Derrick Henry. Ronald Jones led the NFL at the halfway point in 100-yard rushing games last year, which you certainly would not expect, but was true. So, and by the way, Giovanni Bernard played every third down with Tom Brady in the preseason. So, you know, preseason, take it a grain of salt, but I think pretty clearly he is the third down back for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And then I like to call James White, Giovanni Bernard North, going to play the exact same role, right? That third down pass catching role. I also think they'll give James White some touches in the red zone as the pass catching running back there. Giovanni Bernard and James White are two of my most drafted running backs up into this point. I think I have Giovanni Bernard on 19% of the teams I've drafted and James White on 18% of them. So I'm definitely putting my money where my mouth is with those two guys.
You know, it's interesting that, I mean, I guess you believe that Gibson has a bigger role in store, but you never really mentioned McKissick at all. I feel like he is a guy to me that would qualify in terms of the category here, but why not McKissick here as a like mid-round guy?
Because I just can't. I am so in on Antonio Gibson that I can't even entertain the thought, right? And that is, by the way, how you should be drafting teams. If you've taken Antonio Gibson on a bunch of these teams, don't bet against yourself, right? Don't be betting against your early round portfolio by taking a ton of JD McKissick or Jarrett Patterson or whatever. Like, kind of make your teams make sense together. But I mean, of course, JD McKissick could have another 100 target season, and I don't think anyone would really be all that surprised. But just from my perspective, I don't want to be betting against myself.
Understood. Okay. Now over to premium targets. These are players you're obviously going to have to spend up a little bit more for. And all three could have some role this season. We've seen that both in Green Bay and Dallas. And then, you know, we'll wait to see what happens with Denver.
So Javonte is more expensive than these other two. If you want Javonte in your league, you probably are going to have to take him in the 6th round, maybe even the 5th round, kind of depending on how aggressive your league is in drafting running backs. Dylan is a little bit cheaper. He's more like the 8th or 9th round. I think he'll have a little bit of standalone value, obviously massive contingent value if something were to happen to Aaron Jones. The thing really that remains to be seen with AJ Dylan is, you know, they've had this playing time split the last couple of years between Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams, and they would use Aaron Jones as the playmaking guy, having him catch passes and using him on early downs. And then sometimes Jamal Williams would be the early down guy, and sometimes he would be the third down guy, and it would kind of just depend on the game plan. What we need to know about AJ Dillon is, are they going to use him the same way? Is he going to catch a couple passes? Is he maybe going to get 2 or 3 targets per game? Are they going to hand the goal line work over to AJ Dillon, right? AJ Dillon, massive guy, 230 pounds, legs probably about the size of my entire body. Guy just looks like he's been carved out of granite. So I think AJ Dillon is maybe overpriced at this point in drafts, but if he is in a 50-50 timeshare in that offense, or if something were to happen to Aaron Jones, I would anticipate him being just a true fantasy football superstar. And then at this point, everyone knows the deal with Tony Pollard. He's going to get some touches. There will be some games where the Cowboys are blowing other teams out where he gets in there. But if anything were to happen to Ezekiel Elliott, right? Ezekiel Elliott comes out, twists his ankle. What are we going to get from Tony Pollard? Going to be one of the best running backs in fantasy. The one game that Ezekiel Elliott missed last year, Tony Pollard, 31 PPR points. I mean, just everyone knows the deal with him. He is more physically talented at this stage in his career than Ezekiel Elliott. In fact, Pollard is my third most drafted player in all of fantasy football because I just know. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt the team doesn't have a third running back, right? They even actually just put their third running back, who has never had a role on the team, Rico Dowdle. He actually just got placed on the injured reserve. So there's no one that Pollard is splitting touches with. It's obviously the offense is not going to change, and we feel very good about Tony Pollard. And so these three guys, I am making a real effort to draft in a lot of my fantasy leagues.
All right. Well, I think that for me, the one that name that sticks to me is, of course, Pollard, because I saw him do it last year. Dylan, honestly, I haven't seen a ton of. Saw him play, of course, at Boston College. And Javonte Williams, you're right, the premium price that people are having to pay for him in fantasy drafts at this point, he's a very expensive player, no doubt. Real quick, Davis, first pick overall, 12-team league. Assuming Christian McCaffrey is our first pick overall, here is my question, PPR league. Will me and my buddy, coming back on the back end, get one of the three tight ends, the premium tight? I know we're not getting Kelsey, so I guess the other two tight ends. Will we get Waller or Kittle along with our first wide receiver? Will we be able to? Prediction.
You will not get Waller. You will be able to take Kittle, and you will be able to take CeeDee Lamb if you want him. I would imagine.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more, sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
That both of those guys will be there, and it'll be you'll be on the clock sweating on CeeDee Lamb. Whoever picks right ahead of you, you're going to be sitting there sweating on them, taking CeeDee Lamb for sure.
So a McCaffrey, Kittle, CeeDee Lamb team feels pretty good, right?
If Amazing.
We're able to pull that off.
Yeah, that's
the hope. All right. Fantasy reality coming up next here on Sports Grid. Stay with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. We got Fantasy or Reality coming up for you, and got my other eye here, Davis. I know you're not watching today, but I got my other eye here on the Marlins and Mets making up this makeup game, and five players no longer with the team anymore, among them Corey Dickerson, Adam Duvall, Starling Marte, a game suspended from April played out on August 31st. I guess it just goes hand in hand with weird things that have happened in baseball this year.
Why is this game even being played out at this stage? Like, the Mets aren't going to make the playoffs. The Marlins aren't going to make the playoffs. Shouldn't they just play 161 games? Or is Brett buying this? Is Brett just telling everyone, look, we got to play this game. We got to play this game against the Marlins. We need this win. The team needs some positive momentum. Imagine they lose this hilarious makeup game against the Marlins. Imagine what that's going to do for morale inside the New York Metropolitans clubhouse.
Yeah, the Mets still are mathematically alive for that, more than mathematically alive. Like, they're a run away from having a chance still with the thumbs down. You know, now they're back to thumbs up here. Speaking of which, Brett Levy, he's got our fantasy or reality. So let's kick it over to Brett and get it going.
Yeah, you can't keep the Mets down, Davis. We're still alive somehow, some way. But Irv Smith went down yesterday. We got news of a meniscus tear. He's going to have meniscus surgery. So next up on the Vikings depth chart is Tyler Conklin, who we don't know much about. So, Davis, we'll start with you for this one. Tyler Conklin is draftable in fantasy football. Is this a fantasy or reality?
You know what? I suppose that he probably is, just because at tight end, all that really matters is just finding playing time. And Conklin, I suppose, actually has played a decent bit. Last year, even with Rudolph and Irv Smith on the team, he was playing about 60 to 75% of the team snaps in the back half of the year. Has never been a big, you know, fantasy producer in his time in the NFL. He's been in the NFL for three seasons. He has 43 targets, 329 yards, and he scored one touchdown last year. He played at Central Michigan in college, had about 1,200 yards and 11 touchdowns in three seasons. You know, if you were looking to be optimistic, he is a younger guy. You know, he came out of school a little bit early. He's only 26 now, heading in to his fourth year in the NFL. And the Vikings don't really have another replacement at tight end at this point. You know, Conklin was their blocking tight end last year, and Irv Smith was playing the receiving role. But the other tight ends on the roster, Brandon Dillon, Shane Zylstra, rookie Zach Davidson, but probably not guys they're really wanting to play. So, you know, I mean, is Tyler Conklin going to play like 85% of the snaps in week one for the Vikings? It seems like he probably will at this point. So I will say reality, you can draft him in like deeper formats. I mean, 12-team PPR league with 16 roster spots, probably not. But he is draftable.
Okay. You know, this is kind of, well, first of all, for me, I guess he is draftable. But I would add this, Davis, this is really throwing you under the bus to history. So you're going to have quick fingers here on the Google machine. When was the last time that the Minnesota Vikings had a really good fantasy tight end?
I know the answer. I don't even have to Google it.
Tell me.
Vasant Shenko. He had like
He had like
12 touchdowns one year. Yeah.
But was he drafted high, or was he just like a waiver wire guy?
If I remember correctly, I believe, yeah, the 11 touchdown season, I'm going to guess. I think that was the Brett Favre year, and I'm going to look. I am right. It was.
That's
Brett
a great
Favre
call
year.
By you. I would never would have got that.
Yep, it was the Brett Favre year. Adrian Peterson had an insane year that year, and that was Brett Favre, Sidney Rice, Percy Harvin, and Vasant Shenko in 2009.
Okay, what does this tell you? they just never have a good tight end. Like, it just never happens. Like, every team usually sniffs a good tight end once in a while. But the Vikings never have one. I don't know why. I thought Rudolph would be that guy. He wasn't. I think Irv Smith still has a chance to be that guy. Probably not. I mean, draftable, I'll use that word loosely. I do not want Tyler Conklin starting for me, even in a 15-team league in fantasy, and I don't think he'll end up being. So draftable, yes. Good, no.
All right. Our next question, we're going over to the baseball diamond. Starling Marte actually has 20 steals this year in both the National and the American League, Craig. But there's another player stealing bases at a pretty high rate as well. Whit Merrifield, 38 stolen bases on the year. So with a month left in the season, we got to ask, and Craig, we'll start with you. Both Starling Marte and Whit Merrifield will steal 50 bases this season. Is this a fantasy or reality?
So this is tough. It's tough thinking it through because it does give you both sides playing both. Now, first of all, Starling Marte is stealing 50 bases, so let's just put him aside. He's getting 50. So it comes down to Whit Merrifield on Kansas City. Now, the Kansas City Royals are playing for nothing. It appears as though, based on past history and based on the way Mike Matheny manages, that Whit Merrifield's going to be in the lineup every day no matter what. He's not the kind of guy that's going to play the young guys for the future, and he's not going anywhere. So he's going to get a chance to play. 12 steals normally in a month for anyone is a lot. That's a big number to get. I mean, that would give Merrifield almost, I think, 70 steals over the course of the season. I don't know if he wants to get this or not. It is a tough number to get to. I'm going to say fantasy. The only thing that holds me back here a little bit is that last week of the season, if Whit has decided, hey, I really want to get to this number, and they let him do it, he may fly over it in the last week. But I would tell you this, going into the last week of the season, he's probably not going to be close. And then it just comes down to individual accomplishments. And baseball teams usually don't let that happen until like the last couple days of the season. 12 is a big number. Gonna say fantasy. He may get there. I know that Marte will. So I'll say yes on Marte, and I'll say Merrifield comes a couple short.
So you basically took the same line to get there, but I disagree with your conclusion. I think the answer is reality because the Royals are not playing for anything, and Whit would like to get to 50. Like, isn't it really that simple? Like, I am positive
like
that
it.
Whit Merrifield. Yeah, like, I feel like he would love to steal 50 bases and have that on his track record. Back in 2018, he got to 45. He had 707 plate appearances that year. He got 12 last year, 20 the year before. And I think, by the way, he would like to play in as many games as possible because in 2019, he played in all 162 games. That's pretty cool, right? Being able to play in all 162 games. Has Whit missed a day yet? Maybe he wants to go for multiple 162 game seasons. But yeah, he's going to get to 50 because I know that baseball players care about their numbers, and they care about them for a lot of reasons. They care about it for arbitration reasons. They care about it to be like, yeah, I stole 50 bases. How about that? You know, I'm Whit Merrifield. I stole 50 bases. So because the Royals are not playing anything, because he's going to be atop of that lineup every single day, I think it's reality. I think they both get to 50.
All right. Our last question of the day, Damian Lillard and Shaquille O'Neal are coming together on a collaboration for a new remake of the Shaqnosis sneakers. Everyone remembers the Shaqnosis sneakers from Reebok. They had all the designs on the side, and they were in all the bright colors. These ones look like they're going to be out in Trailblazers colors in the black and red. Kind of cool because Adidas now owns Reebok. So, Davis, we'll start with you. You owned the original Shaqnosis sneakers. Is this a fantasy or reality?
I mean, of course this is a fantasy. By the time I was even like cognizant of like sneaker culture or like cool shoes or anything, it like Shaq was already like the ninth guy on the Cleveland Cavaliers. Like I graduated high school in 2010, and by that point Shaq's career was over, right? He'd already left the Heat. I think that 2010 was maybe even the year he was on the Boston Celtics, if memory serves me correctly there. So I never, the Shaq thing missed me. I just, like, he was never a huge cultural phenomenon while I was really into basketball. It was LeBron, it was Wade, it was, you know, Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, you know, even like Kyrie Irving and those guys, certainly a younger cachet. I also, because I'm short, basketball shoes just do not look good on me. It's like they take up about half my leg, it feels like. So it's just not really a particularly good look for me. So I just am not really into basketball shoes in general. So this is a fantasy. I did not own the original Shaq Gnosis sneaker.
Yeah, and listen, Brett, you should know better with old man Craig. You know that I never was into sneakers. I mean, how many times we got to go over this here on this show? We do a sneaker talk. It's always a fantasy for me. Like I feel like eventually Brett will learn that as the producer. I let him have carte blanche on these things, but I just looked this morning. I saw what we were going to talk about. I'm like, I guess we just have not learned that old man Craig is never going to be in on a sneaker, original, past, future. There is a chance. I think I may have owned Jordans at one point. Like I may have owned the first kind or the second kind, because I remember me and my brother going back to my parents' house, digging to see if we could find them because they're worth so much money. But beyond that, it's a fantasy for me. Now, in terms of popularity in my life, as far as, you know, basketball is concerned, I was around for the end of the Magic Johnson, Larry Bird era. No question. Remember them playing at a very high level. But as far as like, as an adult in popularity, it was Michael Jordan, it was Shaquille O'Neal, those two guys. And I was at every big Shaquille O'Neal event, championship, playing for the Heat, all of that stuff. But as far as the sneaker is concerned, no, did not own it. I do give Shaq a lot of credit for making these sneakers so cheap. He wants everybody to be able to have them. I've always appreciated that about him. But beyond that, it is a fantasy, Brett. You keep putting in these sneaker fantasy realities. They're just going to keep being fantasy. I look forward to the next one. Fantasy.
The hope is we get Davis to say reality in one of them, right? Like we need some action.
Yeah. Instead of this, what we should have is that fantasy reality. Davis's favorite sport is baseball, right? Like we should just have one of those every few weeks. Davis would give you the same answer every single time. Well, I love baseball a lot. I really like what we're doing here on the show, but no, it is going to be a fantasy. I love football. It basically would be, you know, more or less the same thing, unfortunately. But listen, the only thing that could come out of this conversation is my son, who is now 9, who has no awareness at all, basically, of the NBA outside of Michael Jordan and a few of the other legends. Maybe he would get into it at some point and ask, hey, Dad, can I get this sneaker of, you know, pick, you know, Zion Williamson maybe in 5 years from now. But I have no shot whatsoever. This is what I'm wearing right now on this show. So do you really think I'm going to be that guy that's going to go out and buy these sneakers? No, probably not. It was probably too much to show this year on the show. But anyway. All right, the Sports Grid 60 is coming up next here on our program, and then we got to get out of here for this Tuesday. But don't despair. We'll be right back here for another edition tomorrow. We'll start previewing the college football games coming up later in the week. Some huge games this weekend, no doubt.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Joe Pisapia will be with us. And also, don't forget, on Sunday morning. We are taking the week off here because of the Labor Day holiday weekend. You get me here on the show tomorrow. We'll be back with more fantasy sports today. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And welcome back. Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid as we get ready to wrap up this show. Reminder, we're right back here tomorrow, noon Eastern, for another edition of Fantasy Sports Today. I'll keep my sandals on. Let's end with the Sports Grid 60.
Well, my favorite thing to do in the Sports Grid 60 is to remind everyone to stay humble with fantasy football because no one knows everything. One of the guys, Craig told me, a guy I really liked was going to get cut. He said, Davis, you know, it might not be a top 100 guy, but someone you like is going to get cut. And it just happened while we were at break. The Jacksonville Jaguars seem to have released Colin Johnson, the 6'6 wide receiver who played at the University of Texas. I really thought he was in line to be the fourth wide receiver for the team and would be a guy who would benefit from any missed playing time for Marvin Jones or DJ Shark. Not going to happen. Sounds like it's hasta la vista for Colin Johnson and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Another reminder that we never know quite as much as we think we do, though I hope he signs on with, I don't know, the Chiefs, the Lions. Someone sign Colin Johnson for me. We need it.
Yeah, Cam Akers, J.K. Dobbins, Cam Newton. We're probably not done yet. Something. I feel like the biggest bombs have gone off, but you know, some mini mines will go off as well. Speaking of Cam Newton, the one thing that I would say about Cam Newton is a blind spot that I have, which is for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. When I found out about Cam Newton today, the first thing I thought was, is he a Hall of Famer or not? And I don't know if that's a bad job by me or a bad job by the Pro Football Hall of Fame, the fact that they put five guys in guaranteed every year, leads me to believe that he is going to be a Hall of Famer in the end, but I think it's because of that. Baseball's Hall of Fame is obviously way more stringent, whether or not you like that or not. It's easier for me to predict who's going to get in and who won't. Pro Football Hall of Famers, again, they have to put in a certain amount every year. My guess is Cam Newton eventually, like Davis said, does get in. Thank you to our friends over at LTN. Thanks to Danny getting our stuff on the show today. Like, we really needed it. Thank you, of course, to Ryan as well, for my producer, Brett Levy. Co-host Davis Maddock, I'm Craig Mish. Yes, I'll be back here tomorrow at noon with you guys on Fantasy Sports Today. Have a great Tuesday.